I don't wanna go to work. I just wanna chill and play all day. Look him dead in the face and say, I wish I could just be still asleep while you work.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Jobs Blow podcast with Brianna and Josh.
The podcast for dreamers with and without day jobs.
We're so glad to be here sharing more inspiring stories as well as perspectives on surviving life and career in, during, around, and now still during a pandemic.
How are you, Josh?
I'm good now. We had a little technical difficulties before this, but now we're rocking and rolling. And this week was my birthday and I had a great time.
Well,
thank you. Thank you for the happy birthday wishes.
Brandon. Yeah, no, perfect timing to launch your birthday pastrami social.
Yes, the birthday pastrami Instagram page is live and we went out to Connecticut. We went to Katz's Deli out there. I gave them a T-shirt. They were all excited. I took pictures.
Did they give you your sandwich for free?
They did not.
Well, that really sucks. They obviously don't know the power of a social media.
They don't know yet. In fact, you're very right about that because they didn't have a social page. She was like, oh, we're working on it. I'm like, you guys are huge up here. It's not the same Katz's. But anyway, it was great. It was just great. It was honestly, you know what it was more? It was the first day that we've really, really, really been out like for a full day, like not just like out for like an hour and go back home. You know, it was crazy. And I was exhausted the next day and that I took two naps. Two naps in my
That's because you're old, Josh.
Well, that too.
Don't act like it has anything to do with anything
else. Pastrami, how much pastrami did I eat as well? But honestly, it was really good and it was fun to launch. And I took your advice and I posted a little ask out there of, hey, anybody who, you know, thank you so much for the birthday wishes. Follow the birthday pastrami on Instagram. And they did. So thank you for
good.
Social media good. Master. How are you doing?
What's I'm new? Good. I'm good. We had a long day. We went finally. I went to Governor's Island last week. Had never been there, shamefully. Walked and pedaled and climbed over 6 miles.
Wow.
But it was nice. If you've never been, you should definitely take the kids over there.
I will. We need to, now that we're getting outside more and just kind of venturing like that. I mean, we were exhausted. We were outside running around at our friend's house and everything, but we need to do that stuff and it's the time to do it. So good suggestion.
They have glamping there too, but I don't imagine that it's cheap. So
really they have cabins?
Yeah. Glamping, you know, like tents. Like
they're really nice tents.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I want to do that. We'll do that eventually.
That actually, I think would be fun to get a group of people.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole area and they have a bar and everything.
Oh, but they don't have fire pits for you're building a fire there.
They may have. And they have kids area to play. So anyway, enough about us. Let's get to our guest.
Go for it.
All right. So very exciting to have a old friend of mine, but we'll use the word old very lightly.
Old. O-L-E. Old.
Yeah. Anyway, today's show is Know What You Want and Believe You Can Get It with Austin Life's editor-in-chief, Jennifer Byrne, but I call her Jen, right? Jen, you're Jen?
Yeah.
Okay. And I forgot to read my inspirational quote.
Oh, go for it.
I came up with this quote before Jen came up with the title of the show. So my inspirational quote is, the future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. Ooh. And it's Eleanor Roosevelt who said it.
Oh, Roe.
So when I reached out to Jen and told her that I originally thought the show could be called When Your Career Goes South, because she moved from LA to Austin. And in my head, I was like, I think that might be more east than south, but I really like the
well,
name.
It's still south. That's a good name. I kind of dig that name.
But then I found out that she didn't even move for the job. She wanted to move to Austin first. So totally threw it out the window.
Well,
I also had career moves as a show name. And so when she said she was moving because she wanted to move and not for career, that went out the window.
This should be a section of our show where we talk about all the other great ideas we had
for
the
show.
Name that didn't work and then what we settled on. But Jen, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Austin Life, can you just tell us real quick, is that tell our audience, is that a print publication? Is it online only?
Yeah, no, Austin Life is a print publication, local upscale luxury magazine.
Cool.
That celebrates all the exciting people, places, and things in Austin. It's very
like barbecue, all the barbecue.
Definitely.
Well,
and it's also online.
And you just put out your first issue, right?
I actually just put out my fifth issue.
Was it your fifth?
I thought I started 2 months before I moved here.
Okay. Yeah. So I follow you on social and I can only keep up with what I see.
Well, I know. I just got the proof today for my fifth issue. It'll be June.
Oh, okay. Okay. But the female entrepreneur that you did, was that one of your first with
Camilla?
Yeah.
Okay. That was my third issue.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm way off, but congrats. 'Cause it looks really nice. So Jen is going to talk to us about her career path. And I met her on the red carpet some nearly two decades ago. But Jen, why don't you start? I know you had mentioned that you started doing some music reviews or music writing when you were in college. And then that kind of propelled you from there to New York.
Yeah. I mean, I guess when I started, when I was younger, I was obsessed with magazines. I always wanted to work in a magazine, but I didn't think I had the talent to do it. And like my family is raised to either be a doctor or a lawyer kind of thing. So I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm good at taking tests. So I was pre-law in college and I worked in a local music bar. And the Gin Blossoms played there. One day, a lot of reporters were calling and they weren't doing press. And I said, let me interview you. And they said, if you can get a job through this, then you can do the interview. Kind of not really being serious. So I did the interview. I pitched the local newspaper and they ran it on the cover. And then they offered me a music column.
Wow.
Not knowing I was still in college. So I got a column called Club Scene with Jen Byrne. And I wrote about nightlife for my junior and senior year of college. My senior year, they had me sell advertising also, which I was happy to do because I was learning. Right. But when I wrote a bad review about an advertiser, they canceled my column.
Oh, my God.
But then the Arizona Republic called me and picked it up and offered me a job as a features writer the day I graduated. Before I graduated. My senior year. So my senior year, actually, my professor was an editor at the Arizona Republic. And I would tell him, do you want me to go to work or do you want me to come to class? And I negotiated my grades my last year.
You're 21 at the time doing this?
I was just turned. Yeah, I was 21.
Wow.
And again, I think audience, pay attention to her tenacity and her obvious, like paying attention to what's going on around her and making it work in her benefit, because this is the beginning.
There are two pretty well-known entrepreneurs that I really respect that both said, if we could describe you in one word, it's tenacious.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Just that part of the story alone. I was thinking like Frogger. Remember that game Frogger where like you just keep moving, you see the car coming, you move, I'm moving up here, you know, you just keep going. And then next thing you know, you're like across the street, like amazing. That's amazing. What's your official title? How do you look at yourself or whatever this title is?
Well, now it's the best of both. Well, I was a journalist for a long time, as Brandon knows. And then I left 10 years ago and started a marketing PR company and freelanced a little, but I was pretty much just a publicist marketing. And now I'm equally both. I'm editor of a magazine, which is pretty full time. And I also still own a marketing PR company.
Wow. So CEO.
I put editor / founder.
I like CEO EIC.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
So you're in Arizona and you're working for the paper.
So I was the youngest features writer at columnist at the Arizona Republic at the time because they were trying to bring a younger readership into the paper. And it was the year Gannett bought the Arizona Republic from the private family. And instead of being appreciative, I spent my days pitching national magazine stories because I wanted to work at a big glossy magazine in New York City. And at the time, Maxim was the biggest selling magazine because it was the time of Lad Mags.
Yes.
So I would go down the masthead, which is not something I'd recommend ever, but I'm pitching all the editor stories. And one kept writing me back saying why it wouldn't work. But I appreciate he actually wrote me back. So I went and visited my family over Thanksgiving. He asked me to have lunch in the Maxim office and I was super excited. So I went and he said, if you're serious about freelancing for Maxim, you should really move to New York. And I flew back to Arizona. And a friend of mine from college, it's another story, she moved to New York and she said, we found this great 3-bedroom, but we need another roommate. So I quit my job that day and I moved to New York a week later. And when I moved to New York, I got a temp job at Fox, actually, working for the woman who would eventually become the publicist for American Idol.
Wait. Okay. What year was this? Because I worked at Fox.
2001.
Okay. And who was the woman that you worked for?
Alexis Gillespie.
Okay. You need to know she took my job.
No way.
I left there because of the sexual harassment that I was dealing with. And she was the receptionist. And when I left, he hired her. And I'll tell you right now.
She's who I reported to, my 3 months at Fox.
Yeah. She never had to deal with what I dealt with. I can tell you that right now. But anyway, so you did that at Fox.
Oh, and I was bartending. And I remember it's one day I was bartending for over a year. And my dad called and he said, "Are you a bartender who writes or a writer who bartends?"
Putting it to
you. And that was the turning point for me. So I quit bartending and I sent out a classified ad for myself. I called it every magazine that I liked. I sent an email. I can turn around a story in a day. I can write anything, whatever. And an editor at Glamour wrote me back. She goes, "Can you really turn around a story in a day?" I was like, "Sure." So she had me write love horoscopes for Glamour.
Oh my God. Which
was hysterical because this was before Google.
Right.
This was AOL dial-up. And it had to be a third research, a third celebrity quotes, and a third my own knowledge on love. I was reading Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. I was calling my friends in relationships and asking them advice and using LexisNexis. I don't know if you remember this.
Yes, I remember LexisNexis.
Old quotes from celebrities talking about love.
Oh my God.
But it was the biggest paycheck I ever got because Condé Nast paid pretty well at that time.
Yes.
And then I went to a media bistro pitch thing for the weeklies, was TV Guide, Entertainment Weekly, and In Touch. And I pitched something. They all said, "We want it." I started freelancing for all of the weeklies. And then a friend of mine, Jason Adams, he was great. He was at Blender at the time. He let me start freelancing for Blender. And then he left to go to Entertainment Weekly and gave me a bunch of his old freelance jobs because he wasn't allowed to freelance anymore. So I had a pretty lucrative freelance career then.
And this is when we met, right? This is when we met on the red carpet.
Right. And then I was freelancing for Us Weekly, In Touch, and Star at the same time.
Right. So Jen and I met on the red carpet and went to many amazing parties together. And we were talking before the show about one memorable interview with Bruce Willis when he shoved my hand because I had to put my hand up with my tape recorder to ask him a question. And he literally shoved my hand down. And then Jen was after me and I'm like, "Good luck."
Yeah. And he said, "I dare you to ask me a dumb question."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was the question you asked him then?
I said it was raining that night. I said, "What would you rather be doing than being here on a rainy night?"
What did he say?
Being home.
But he said it was a good question.
He did say it was a good question.
I asked him because it was that film Hostage or whatever it was with his daughter was in it. And I think one of the questions the magazine wanted to know was about working with his daughter. And he was such a jerk about it. He was not
question.
Did you guys literally meet on the red carpet? Carpet?
Yeah.
And you exchanged home addresses because that technology wasn't invented yet?
No, it's so funny because there was a group of us.
It was camaraderie. You're at party. Yeah. You at parties together every night. It's your social group.
Wow. It was you, me, Mary Park, Donna Friedkin, Jeff.
Adam Pitluck, Sonam. Remember him?
Adam, what was his name?
Adam Pitluck worked at People. I'd later write for him when he's editor of American Airlines for years. That's why.
Wow. And Rebecca, who went to Us Weekly and I.
Oh, Beanstalk.
Yes. Her too. Yep. It's funny.
Jeffrey Sonam.
I know. Oh God, Jeffrey.
I know.
I have a question. So this is you're probably a couple years out of college, 25-ish or something now, right? It's just a lot of opportunities coming your way. What do you just kind of reflect on what the secret sauce of that is? You know, is it just saying yes to everything that comes along or relationship building, or was it just focusing on the work?
I mean, now I don't know if you could send a mass email to a bunch of people just saying you're the best at your job and let me do it. And it's like reaching a little bit above your skill level. So I knew nothing about love or horoscopes, but she didn't know that. When I wrote about music reviews, I didn't know anything about music and felt completely unqualified, but I stayed up and spent like 8 hours writing 150 word CD review because I was going to figure out how to do it.
So it's another fake it till you make it.
Right.
Like, we hear that so much, Jen, so much.
Oh my God. I mean, I've done a lot of those. Yeah.
It just seems because like nowadays it's like so much is about your perception of authenticity, right? So like your TikTok or your Instagram, like, oh, you're the expert on this. Like you have to really pretend. It's like fake it till you make it, but in a different way now, because you actually have to prove in some way that you are that thing, as opposed to just, you know, talking a good game and say, I'll figure it out when I get there.
Yeah. Right?
Like see the change, you know what I mean? Like how it's changed.
Yeah.
Well, and Jen, you did a great job because you did end up was OK the first?
No. So ironic, while I was freelancing.
Or Star.
All of a sudden, Bonnie Fuller, who at the time, she was a really respected editor who had worked at like second ever editor at Cosmo, then at Us Weekly and turned Us Weekly from a monthly to a weekly. She left Us Weekly to go to Star Magazine. And then my editor, Glamour, left Glamour to go work for her at Star Magazine. And my editor at Us Weekly left Us Weekly to go work for her at Star Magazine. And Joe Dolce left at Details to go work for her at Star Magazine. And my editor In Touch left to go work at Star Magazine. Wow. So they offered me a job, a staff job at Star Magazine. And I was like, if I'm ever going to go staff, it's not going to ever be as easy as all the editors or my editors from all the other places. And I was worried what would happen to those freelance jobs once all my editors went to Star Magazine. So I decided to go give it a year and work under Bonnie Fuller. So I did that.
And then how long were you there?
I was there a year. And I mean, I went because I worked in the bar industry too. And my roommate at the time was a manager at Lotus, which was a big club at the time. I went out a lot. So through that, it was just, I was always out. So I always knew what was going on. And they got mad. They told me, you don't break stories. You could be breaking covers with your access, but you don't. So we want you to, I asked for a raise. They said, break a cover. And I never was really gossipy. I never sold out or really compromised on that. They said, go get a counter or break a cover. So I broke a cover and I got a counter from Us Weekly. And then OK called me the same week and outdid them, all of them.
What was the cover?
So I never did any of the travel crazy stories, but it was something, Jessica Simpson, Van Margera.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So then I quit anyway. I said, thank you, but I'm leaving. And I took the OK job and there was just like five people on the launch team and it was British. It was different. Like everything was more laid back and fun. And this wasn't like, we're not changing the world. We're putting out a magazine to entertain people.
But so, you said you didn't ever want to compromise on that. You know, the gossipy, that part. And OK was it's British.
That's not when they started. So when OK started, it was pitched to me as the weekly in style magazine. And we had a lot of money. Their launch budget was like $10 million.
Wow.
So we did sit down interviews with Jessica, all the big star celebrities. We did like real shoots, like monthly magazine quality shoots, and sat down and interviewed them. And I was the society editor. So I just did the event pages and like the top 10 lists and some of the sit down interviews. But
oh, well, that's
our first year, we were straight 2 years. We didn't do gossip.
Okay. And how many years were you there?
5.
Okay. So then the last few years you did do that stuff. And that, was it?
Well, I moved to California and I kind of did my own thing, but I set up a lot of the exclusives and still did my pages. And I started doing brand deals with that for them too. I brought Live Nation in to do a weekly music column. I was working, trying to do a deal with Virgin America, which is how I got my job with Virgin America.
Now, did your work in advertising, sorry, Josh, help with for you to recognize those opportunities, would you say, or?
I think working at a British magazine where things blur the lines. And it was when we started, because I was like society events editor, the publisher was used to, in Britain, in Europe, OK was a huge magazine. People do anything for them. He didn't realize that nobody knew what OK was in the States. So when they said to throw a launch party, I had $0 budget. So it was like beg, lie, cheat, and steal to throw this launch party. So that's when I learned, it was like a crash course in marketing and event planning. Cause I had to barter for liquor and a barter for a venue, barter for everything. Like, I'll give you this editorial. And there was a gray area in the mix of editorial and advertorial because it was British. So I just like beg, lie, cheat, and steal to throw these part an East Coast and West Coast launch party. And wow, that has just turned that into being great lesson though, because that's what kind of like, I'm like so scrappy with my PR company because I learned just kind of how to barter to make it work for everyone.
Were you like that as a kid? I mean, this ability to just kind of be presented with these seemingly, you know, insurmountable tasks and then just figure it out and make it happen.
Not really.
Where do you think that comes from?
My parents and I couldn't go to Cancun my senior year, so I got a job.
Really?
To their shock, as a hostess at Bennigan's.
I love Bennigan's. My favorite birthday song. Do you remember the song?
I probably would.
Oh, come on. Happy, happy birthday on the special day. Forget it. Come on.
You just really needed to take it back to your birthday again, didn't you?
I did. I'm going to do the whole episode like that. From Bennigan's to you. Hey, anyway. No, but that's really cool. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's kind of like you're just this like, you know, you just keep getting thrown into these situations and being able to figure it out is remarkable. And but this is so now when you got to this part you were just talking about with OK, were you in California already? Because you had said before that you
I worked at OK in New York for 2 years and I'd always wanted to move to California. Right. So I one day I just went in and told so I don't do you remember Joyce Sevilla?
The name's very familiar.
We were sitting in a cold winter night in New York once and decided to move to Los Angeles. So I went and told Better and Chief I'm moving to Los Angeles. And she said, what if I don't want you to? And I said, then I'll go work at Us Weekly. She said, okay, you can move to Los Angeles, which just made more sense for what we were doing anyway, because the celebrity, I worked at a celebrity magazine and all the celebrities lived in Los Angeles.
Right, right. And even the Hamptons wasn't what it was in the early 2000s. I mean, do you remember when we covered out there, we were the polo matches, the white party that P. Diddy with
us. And it changed.
Totally.
I think he's going to come back this summer. But yeah, it changed. And it's like, you're chasing like the three celebrities are in town up front, but otherwise there's like not really, it's not anything like LA was at the time, especially that time before Instagram. It was just a fun time to be in Los Angeles too. So I moved to LA and worked just in that office, which is great.
And you said, so you came, your relationship with Virgin started when you were at, with OK, right?
It started right when I started OK. Virgin launched this like within 3 months of OK, and they're both British owned companies. And when OK launched, is owned by a single British billionaire.
We all know who that is.
So what the first flight Virgin America did was from LA to San Francisco. And a friend of mine who knew how obsessed I was with California said, do you want to go on this flight? And I said, I can't fly to California, turn around and fly back. So I was busy. Then I felt ungrateful because he said I did it just because I know you like California. I was like, okay, I'll go. So I went and there was a tornado in Brooklyn that day of the launch. And so they had to drop me off in an air tram. It was a whole thing. And I get to the airport and they wanted to take off relatively on time because it was their first flight. And Stephen Colbert was supposed to be hosting the flight. It was called Colbert Air. He missed the flight. Half the flight missed the flight. So we took off half full. And it was just a bunch of like tech geeks who was like into the in-seat entertainment thing. And then a few of us sitting down and three people sitting down were reading OK Magazine. And I was just like huddled reading the New York Post. And because there's so few people on the flight, Richard Branson had time to come over to each person and introduce himself. And he sat down. And I just said, I'm like, you should make OK Magazine. You're in flight magazine. You're both new, both British, and you're half your plane's reading it anyway. And he said he didn't know the owner of OK, but he's familiar with him because there's only so many British billionaires. He said, if Richard Desmond says OK, let's do it. And he gave me his email address, which I didn't realize wasn't common at the time.
There you go again.
Again.
Oh, it's Richard Branson.
Again. Are you like a three-point shooter on the Bulls in the 90s? What's going on? He's nailing shots.
I would have been like, yeah, hi, nice to meet you. Like, I would.
I wasn't the super fan then. I am now. Like, I really liked him, but I wasn't like president of the fan club yet. So I just decided to make a vacation out of it. And I took the train to visit my friend in San Diego and wrote a proposal to Richard Branson on the train why he should make OK Magazines and Pipe Magazine. And then I got a text from Richard Branson, meet me at the Box in New York at like 7 p.m. Thursday. And I lived right behind the Box at the time. Like literally, I lived on Elizabeth Street and the Box was on Bowery. So I went to the Box and I went to their table and he was with the CEO at the time, the director of communications. And he just said, this is Jen. She works with us now. And so he gave, on Monday, the director of communications called me and she's like, so what do you do for us? And I said, I just had this idea to make OK your in-flight magazine. And there's God. All kinds of reasons why small commuter airlines don't have in-flight magazines from like the weight of the magazines and everything else. But they were planning their second launch party at the time. And because I wrote about parties for a living, they asked, do you have any ideas what we should do or celebrities we should invite? And it was just easier to do it myself and explain to them how to do it. So I started inviting their talent for their parties and helped coming up with the themes that made sense for the different cities they were doing. And so I did, well, that was 6 years. I did that.
Wow. Can I just clarify one thing? The Box, you mean like the Box, the Box?
The burlesque like bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is even crazy. How long ago was this?
This was, they launched in, I think, 2005.
Yeah, because I was at the Box in 2015, maybe, and my head almost popped off with what I saw in there. So that's wild that that's where he would take you.
Oh, no, yeah, or no, it was 2006 because I worked there. That was one reason I moved to California, too, because my contract was free flights for life, which is one of the best contracts I ever did.
Wow.
So I knew if I moved to California, well, I can come back whenever I wanted, and that was part of the agreement. My editor at OK knew I could come back to New York if they ever needed me. So
wait, so Jen, do you still work with Virgin? Are they
well, until they got sold 2 years ago.
Okay. So airline. Do you still get your free flights for life?
Well, the airline doesn't exist anymore. So that was just with Virgin America. Right, when Virgin Australia launched, they referred me to them and they asked if they could offer me the same deal for my contract. But I said, since I can't go to Australia as often as I go to New York, no, you need to actually pay me. So they started paying me a retainer and they gave me a certain number of flights.
Okay. But
that was when I had my job at OK and I was getting on the side retainer from Virgin Australia for 2 years.
Wow. Okay. So, but the relationship with Virgin is what, when you decided to leave OK was.
Yeah, I left. It was, I'd recently got offered a job. Hollywood Life was launching and they offered me the job as West Coast Bureau Chief. Us Weekly offered me a job as deputy editor and I was not liking OK, but then I was like, I didn't know if I was just disenchanted with all of it. So with Virgin, just like that could pay my bills. And I decided just to quit and take some time, figure out what I wanted to do next. And it was July, I decided in August for like beginning of August, I left and I was gonna take this month just to figure it out. But then I started taking projects like it was my job, like just going to lunches and people like, try this. So Jeff Beecher and David Arquette were opening Beecher's Madhouse. Like, come open Madhouse. I'm like, no way. And then over dinner at David's house, they talked me into doing PR for Beecher's Madhouse. And then this website Tonic was a good news website. And they asked me to take over that. And I thought I needed to cleanse my soul from years and weekly. So I started writing for this good news website. And all of a sudden I was doing pretty well. And I got a call from the only place I thought I would go staff in that little window from CAA. That was like, I wanted to be an agent at CAA. I did the round robin interviews. And the last one, they said, we don't think you really want this job. And what? I was like, I was doing so well just being at my house and doing projects that I
couldn't even pay it. And that's a cutthroat business. I mean,
yeah, and Virgin Australia had CA as their agency. So I'd go in once a week or so and I'd like tell them my ideas and they'd execute them. So it's like a novelty going in and being like this novelty at CA, but not really having to do anything except get all dressed up once a week or something for an hour. But when I realized that could be a reality every day, I was like, I don't think this is right for me. Right. So once you turn down what you think is your dream job, it's like, well, you kind of make what you're doing work.
Well, that's kind of my question too is one question we ask people is, you know, is this your dream job? But my question for you is, were you hitting your what you thought were your dream jobs along the way? And then was that changing?
When I was like 18. This is quite, when I was in college, I wrote down a book. I want to be editor of a magazine before I'm 30 and then retire from magazines, do projects and write books. So
technically
I turned 30 and I was single still. So it's like, well, what do you do? But then when I was like 32 or something, I decided to quit my job and do projects and write a book. So, right. Yeah.
Wow. So, okay. So you did, what's the name of your business?
I had to close my company in California and open in Texas now because just you do. So it was Simply Jen, because that was the name of my silly blog at OK Forever. Now it's Byrn Communications.
Okay. And that's BIRN.
Yeah.
To be clear. So you did, were doing that then from what, when did you launch? 2008, did you say? When did you launch?
2010.
10. So
11, 2011. Yeah.
Okay. So from 2011 until you just this year moved to Austin,
yeah.
You, that's what you were doing for a living.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you, yeah. So, you know, back to my whole confusion about you moving for jobs, you decided then because of COVID and being, you know, stuck inside and whatnot, that you wanted to change where you were, yeah. Right? And you just decided Austin, just.
Yeah. So I lived in Houston until I was 12. And my parents are from New York, but they're always proud of their time in Texas. And I was kind of always proud at Texas roots. So I always called myself a Texas raised New Yorker who lived in LA. So it was that. And then, I mean, so silly. I loved this hotel, Hotel St. Cecilia here. And I love, I've only been here for three South by Southwest and ACL, but I had a couple of friends I really liked. One being the editor, old editor in chief of OK Magazine, who's here now. So I was in, I did a quarantine pod in Park City for a month at a ranch, my friend with six people. And I was in the backyard with, in a hammock with my dog. And I just decided, I'm like, I want to move to Austin or Santa Barbara. So I went in the house.
Oh,
like,
I love Santa Barbara.
Austin or Santa Barbara.
Oh.
And my friends are like, Santa Barbara is much too slow for you. You
and move so Austin. Expensive.
Yeah. They're like, you should move to Austin. And I was like, okay. So I called my best friend and my sister. And I was like, what do you think about me moving to Austin? And they're like, we think that's a fantastic idea. What? And everybody, I was like the last to know that it was time for me to move. But everyone was on board. So where I went in like half being serious, they kind of legitimized it was a good idea. And I looked at then I just hit the bubble. I started Googling houses. And if you Google Austin houses, right outside of Austin, they're fairly inexpensive. So I was seeing these giant houses for like $300,000. I'm like, I'm gonna buy a house. Learned is a little different after, but I did buy my first house and online.
So
came out here and it was the option period to make sure I liked it.
So comparatively of the three major places, right? New York, LA, Austin, is this your favorite?
They're all the right for me at the time. Like when I got to LA, I felt like this is home. This is where I'm meant to be. And I never intended to leave. When I got here, my first night in the house on the air mattress waiting for the movers, it just felt right. And there's such a great energy in this city right now. There are so many people moving here. And the people that are here are just so excited to be here. I just can't explain it, but I feel like I'm just this where I'm meant to be. And this is like home for me.
Right.
And certain goals and dreams I kind of still have percolating are possible here where they're not possible in New York or LA.
Wait, what goals and dreams are those?
I kind of want to open a bookstore, tea shop, bed and breakfast.
Oh, that's sweet.
So everybody go to the Jen Byrn bookstore that will be opening in Austin by the end of this month, because that's how this lady
She's going to meet somebody who knows how to make this happen.
And I send them gentlemen, but it was crazy. When I decided to move here, I said, I would love to move to Austin and just work at like a local magazine or work at like the Austin Statesman and do like my projects on the side. And literally a person I know that I told that was moving here called and said, there's this job open as editor of Austin Life magazine. It doesn't pay much, but it's a really good way to get to the city. And even a year before that, I told this airline, I could put together a in-flight magazine for you. And I cost-wise, I'm like, I could actually write it all myself. And I put together the sections and I figured out how I could actually do the whole thing myself. So I think that kind of prepared me for now. I am a staff of one.
Are you really?
Overwhelm me as much because in my head, I already figured out how to put together a magazine by myself. And now this just proved to me that I can do it. So.
But look, if anybody who's listening to our podcast, I think the consistent factor here with Jen and other entrepreneurs we've spoken to is they just don't hesitate. Right? I mean, tell me if I'm wrong about this, but like you see something in front of you, you get an idea, you just go for it. There's no overthinking it and going back and forth, right? You just kind of go, you get a picture in your mind and you go, you make it happen. Maybe I'll move to Austin. Okay. I'm in Austin, right?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a lot when I met Richard, which was a pivotal point because that did lead to a lot of other things. A lot of the projects I've done have been, I still work with all the people that worked at Virgin at their respective new jobs. And so when they go to another place, they always hire me to consult.
That's amazing. So
I think when I met him, I wasn't afraid. I just had an idea and I just told him. So I think as we get older, we lose that naivety that we had when we were younger, that yeah. Like my parents told me, you could do whatever you want to do, honey. And I believed it. And you grow up and you come to a certain point, you stop believing that. And so sometimes I have to consciously remind myself, like, just have that naivety of a child. Like, you could do whatever you want to do. Like, when you believed it, you did. My parents always said, go to college, then you could do whatever you want. So I said I wanted to be a soap opera actress for a while. Like, go to college and you can do whatever you want. But they always said we could do whatever we want. So, like, I paid to put myself through college. Like, nobody handed me anything. Mm-hmm. But that support was pivotal because even my extended family, everyone says be doctors and lawyers. My parents said to my sister, you can do whatever you want to do. My sister didn't know what she wanted to do in college. And they're like, what do you like? And we grew up going to Astros games. So she's like, I don't know. I like baseball. So she got a job in the ticket office of the Red Sox because she went to school in Boston. And she ended up getting a World Series ring because she worked in finance in the front office when they
won. Wow. What? Wow. You guys must just have some sort of blessed aura about you. I don't know.
No, but
I told my mom I wanted to be on Entertainment Tonight. And she was like, yeah, that's never
going to
happen.
You know what, though, Brianna? You're closer now than you've ever been. I'm just saying with this podcast and the interviewing skills.
What?
I feel like you could have been.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, no, Jen, when I did an internship at Good Morning America and the producer that I worked under went to Entertainment Tonight and told me when I graduated from college that I'd have a job with her. And wow. Then I moved to New York and she barely took no. So, yeah, I was close, but yeah. Yes. And Ed Burns was a production assistant at the time. It could have been a whole thing for me.
Well, you know what? I'm going to pretend like, and I'm going to believe in, I mean, that it still could possibly happen because you talk about it enough. It's your reality and it's in front of you. So it's possible. And I think what Jen is saying too, is like, you know, maybe when we're meditating or having those down moments, we didn't get a job or an opportunity we were hoping for, to try to go back to that mentality of like, I believe that anything can happen. That naivety of a child, you were saying, I think that's a good kind of theme. For this talk today.
I think my dad also used to say, I'll take luck over brains any day, which I also firmly believe. But I also think that's preparation meets opportunity is luck. So it's like, go to college and you can do whatever you want to do. Like, do all things. So I work hard. So the preparation meets, then put yourself in places as much as you can. We have opportunity and then
a lot of luck too. But you're right. Creating your own luck. Be prepared. Jump on opportunities. Offer Richard Branson whatever ideas you have in the moment.
I mean, the fact that you went to draw up a plan like for him, like I'd love that. I would have never ever thought that I could do something like that. Like the fact that you just did it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Did you have the experience at the time to even do that? Or you were like, it can't be hard. I'll just do it.
I had no idea what it's doing.
Love that. And he obviously loved it.
Well, listen, Brianna, I mean, the birthday pastrami is exactly this. I mean, really, you come up with it and you say, I'm just going to start an Instagram page. And in 2 weeks, I'm going to be fucking Insta famous.
There you go.
That's not where I am yet, but I'm getting there. And that's the point.
Keep doing it.
So the worst HR question in the world, maybe you've never even heard it. I don't know if you have or not, but where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I see myself in Austin. Potentially with my little bookstore tea shop. So everybody has a place to go find a sense of community and write with one glass cup of tea all day. My sister in finance tells me it's called a nonprofit. But I'm working on it.
Wait, so will you have coffee too? I'm just curious. Do you have a thing against coffee? Okay, because you just said tea.
I have a great client, an Austin-based client called Super Coffee. So it will be all Super Coffee.
Oh, delicious. Awesome. All right. Well, Jen, do you have any social channels you want to share?
Instagram, simply Jen22.
And also your website today. Oh, simply Jen, right? .com. What is it? JenBurn.com?
Yeah, it needs an update.
It's actually really cool. It's really easy to navigate and informative. So good job, actually.
Well, Jen, don't feel like you have to do everything on your own. If you ever need any freelance help.
There we go. And the pitch. The pitch at the end of every episode.
I wrote the publisher an email yesterday saying I need freelance help. And he has not responded.
If you need anyone, if you don't want to go into parties or anything and you need to be there, though, you're just not in the mood, I'll dress up as you and I will socialize the entire time. I'll shake hands. I'll offer business deals, whatever you need. OK,
that was one reason I did okay, too, when I sent my assistant to the Grammys, because I just didn't feel like going.
Yeah,
I was going to say you had to get burned out after.
When I just really wanted to be home and watch Chinese food and watch on TV.
Right. Well, my whole dream of going to the Oscars, like that moment ended for me. Like I'm now way happier in my pajamas with my kid on the couch watching the Oscars than I think I would be having to get dressed
up. And it's all pretty repetitive year after year. So you've done it a couple times. Yeah.
I would still like to get to the Oscars. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, yeah, okay. But you want to be nominated.
Yeah, I want to be nominated. Hey, you never know. But listen, we really appreciate you joining us and telling us this incredible story. And, you know, everybody out there, be as opportunistic, but be as prepared as well. And luck, you know, makes itself in that regard. We are at Jobs Blow Podcast, jobsblowpodcast.com. We're updating the website now with the episodes. You can listen right there. So please check it out. Review us, follow us, share, tell your friends, suggest a guest if there's somebody you think we should talk to. And just share and review, for God friggin' sake, review the podcast. Brianna, you're at what? Brihas one.
One. Yep.
And I'm at Mr. Josh Hyman on all the social. Check out Mr. Bing website. They are ramping up production of their chili crisps. Get 10% off on our discount. It's Jobs Blow, and you will not be disappointed. Spicy, sweet, crunchy. Enjoy it. Thank you so much, everybody. Jen, we love you. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. Thank you. We got no